what's right and wrong, what's wise and foolish. It's all connected to the way God made this world. And God's law, it can be bent. It can be twisted and ignored. It can even be broken. But not without consequences. Not without repercussions. It doesn't matter if you believe these laws or not. They endure and they stand. They are not dependent on us. They do not yield to us. In fact, we must yield to them, or we will have to shoulder the consequences. And the Bible has many ways of describing these consequences of breaking God's law, but the one I want to talk about this afternoon with you is the word cursed. Today in our culture, we don't really talk about curses like the Bible talks about curses. We have curse words. Curses are part of, voodoo magic and more part of our pop culture that you see in horror movies or during Scooby-Doo cartoons. You know, we really don't believe in curses like that. But the Bible doesn't talk about curses that way. There are no witch doctors or black magic. Instead, the Bible uses the word curse to describe what happens when we violate the laws of God. That's why we started this afternoon's service hearing the command of God from Genesis chapter 2. If our first parents would eat from all the trees of the garden that God commanded them to eat from and stay away from that one tree, the one forbidden tree, tree of the knowledge of the good, of good and evil, then they would find life and blessing. But if they disobey God's command and they eat from the forbidden tree, their consequence would be death. They would experience the curse of God. And as we know, not just because we know the story, but because we live the story every day, our first parents disobeyed God. And as a result, all of humanity, all of creation even, is under the curse of God. And then Pastor George, he read from Deuteronomy chapter 28. God, in his mercy, provided a path towards blessing even after humanity took the wrong path. He refused to give up on his people, and he offered them a better way. And do you remember what that way was from Deuteronomy chapter 28? Do you remember what the path looked like? Verse 2 said, "And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God." Ah, obey. Obey God and live. Obey God and be blessed. And what's the opposite? Well, disobey God and die. And this death is described in chapter 28 as a curse. "But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God, or be careful to do all of his commandments and his statutes that I command you today, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you." And the curses of God are still at work in the world today. Why? Well, because we still disobey God's commands. Friends, it's like clockwork. It's like chemistry or mathematics. It always happens this way. I got a kick a week or two ago when one of my boys came home from school talking about the science experiment where you throw some sodium into some water and then you watch what happens. I had a smile on the inside because I remember when my science teacher, when they did the exact same experiment, put a little sodium in some water. And when my science teacher did that, he put some sodium in the water and then nothing happened. And so, well, he took a little bit more, a little bigger chunk of sodium, and put it into the water. And after a kind of a dramatic pause, and he leaned in a little bit closer, all of a sudden came the boom, and off went his eyebrows. I kid you not. It's like my science teacher forgot science. The chemical reaction is going to happen. You just have to wait for a moment. And that's the way it is with God's law. You know, it works that way with us sometimes too, doesn't it? Sometimes when we break God's law and then nothing bad happens, it fools us into thinking that, well, then maybe nothing ever will happen. And friends, that's not true. God's curses always come when we break his law. I'm reminded of Proverbs 3:33. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. The wicked, of course, are those who disregard God's law, who don't care about it, who ignore it. Here we have the wisdom writer telling us plainly, a curse remains on the house of those who break the law of God. It is inescapable. And so how should we understand these things? How should we understand this curse? Well, I want to show you or tell you two things about what the Bible says about this curse. The first thing the Bible really wants us to see and believe is that this world is cursed. It is under the curse of God. Because of our sin, the world has been subjected to frustration and pain. Things don't work the way they're supposed to work. Disagreement and fights are more common than peace. Sickness strikes the young and the old. Even doing the right things doesn't mean you always will be rewarded in this life. In fact, sometimes you do the right things and bad things happen. Like, go figure. That's why the psalmist says in Psalm 73, he writes, "All in vain have I kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence. For all the day long I have been stricken and rebuked every morning." Okay, do you understand what he's saying here? He's saying, I'm doing the right thing. I'm obeying God. And so how come I'm still struggling? Why do I wake up every morning with trouble? Like, things aren't working the way they're supposed to work. And friends, it's because this world is cursed. It's cursed by God because of our sin. And the second thing the Bible teaches us about God's curse is that we are prisoners to it. And here's how. We are not wise enough or strong enough to obey God's law. We cannot break free from the chains. We're called to obey, but we can't. And so do you know what this means? It means that we cannot escape the curse. The world is cursed, and we are cursed. And the question is there any hope? Well, today, friends, as we remember the death of Jesus on the cross, I want you to listen to what Paul says in Galatians 3, verse 13. He wrote, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree.'" Friends, Christ, it says, redeemed us from the curse of the law. One of the regular ways the Bible talks about our battle with sin and death is by calling us a slave to sin. That's not a really fuzzy, warm word, is it? It conjures up all kinds of ugly, dark thoughts and imaginations. But I'm hoping your spirit inside of you is saying something like, yeah, but that's what it's like. Sometimes I don't even care that I'm doing the wrong thing. I don't care. I do the wrong thing and I don't even want to do what's right. I want to do what's wrong. And then sometimes I want to do the right thing. Sometimes I try to do the right thing. And I can for maybe a little bit, but then I end up doing the wrong thing again. Like, even when I want to do the right thing, I can't. And so, friends, we are cursed under sin. We want to do what's right and we can't. And then sometimes we don't even want to do what's right. Friends, that is the definition of slavery. And that's what Jesus has come to fix. He redeems all those who put their trust in him because of the curse of the law. The word redeem means to buy back, to purchase back. So imagine, because it's true, we are slaves. You're locked in these chains, unable to set yourself free. You belong to sin. And it indeed is a curse. And Jesus marches in to set you free. He is the Savior. He is the liberator. He is the one willing and able to pay your ransom and set you free. And that price, the price that he had to pay, was to become the curse of God. He became a curse so you could receive blessing. He became the curse of God, taking on himself our sin. He became a curse by dying on the cross for us. And will you receive that gift? Will you receive that blessing? Because that's really important. Because you won't experience the blessing unless you receive it. And how do you receive it? Well, by exercising your trust and faith in the Lord Jesus. We receive God's gift of blessing from the curse when we turn from our self-centered way, readjust our thoughts, readjust our direction. That's what the Bible calls repentance of sin. And believe, trust that God accepts you and forgives you. Not because you're so great, because Jesus is so great and what he did on that cross to set you free. Have you received Christ? And if you haven't, will you?